You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardness with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officers. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victorious crown unless he completes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember, Jesus Christ raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jane. Bless you. Thank you. Well, it's a real privilege to have my really good friend John Bridger with us this morning to bring God's word. And I'm not going to say any more, but we're going. Oh, he's two parts. Okay. I've allowed you one part, John, but we can get around that. You can do it all in two if you like. So let's welcome John as well. Thank you, John. Bless you.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. I just want to say particularly hello to Christian. I can't see you, Christian, but I think you're there. And will you give your lovely mother my love and greetings, please?
Yes, I will.
Good. The Merstham's Baptist Church has had a special place in my heart for years. I've always thought the potential at Merstham was absolutely enormous. And it's when I knew that you were looking to sort of for a new leader, Brian seemed to be the obvious choice because Brian makes things happen. Not many. There's lots of pastors that are quite good at maintenance and keeping the show on the road, but it's a special gift to actually see something more and go for it and persevere, because actually it's never easy to move forward in radical ways. So I understand this is the fifth anniversary, and the best is yet to come. Merstham has got enormous potential, and Brian has got huge gifting and experience to lead you forward. So I just hope you're encouraged today. Not easy, but be encouraged, and just don't limit what the Lord is going to do. I want to speak on just really one verse today. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. This is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. Timothy is an anointed preacher, an anointed church planter, and yet Paul seemed to be necessary to Paul to remind him about Jesus, which is a little bit surprising. But the problem is that it's so easy to become familiar and over familiar with truth. And the main thing for us as Christians is to remember Jesus Christ. The main thing for us as churches, remember Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. He's the only one that can build the church. And he will just honor faith within the church. So I want to give you some reminders today. Remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every year, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is celebrated by millions of people throughout the world. over 2,000 years after he died and he was resurrected. And why is this? Why is it that this one solitary person who died is remembered? And the reason is that millions of people have encountered Jesus Christ. It's predicted, and nobody knows for certain, but it's predicted or anticipated that every day 50,000 people or more come to Jesus Christ, come to faith. We live in a bit of the world where things aren't happening in the same dimension as they are in Africa and China. One of the countries with the fastest growing church apparently is in Iran. The ruthless and vicious and demonic faith that is exercised in Iran by the religious people is driving people away to Jesus Christ. I've been to Israel quite a few times over the years, and one of the places that I've been to, every time I've been there, is the Garden Tomb. Now, nobody knows whether the Garden Tomb is actually the place where Jesus was buried, but all I would say is that it ticks a lot of boxes, and there's certainly a very special sense of the Lord's presence there. But the one thing that I've always noticed when I've been there is it's always empty. There's never anyone in it. And the tomb was empty after 3 days. That Jesus was alive and reigning and resurrected. We had a guy in Reigate who used to head up a catering company, and we used to let out the churches to lots of outside organisations. And if they wanted refreshments or whatever, this guy would come in and he'd arrange it. It was a really good company, and he very efficient, and we got to know him quite well over a few years. And I often would talk to him and invite him to church, and he never turned up until one Christmas I invited him to a carol service. Well, the carol services we used to have there was full up with 300-400 people or more. And this particular carol service went by, and the day after, this guy phoned me up. And he said, John, he said, I was at a carol service yesterday. I came to it. He said, I came with my 13-year-old daughter. He said, and I'd like to come and see you. So I said, certainly. So we arranged for him to come into the church a couple of days later. He said, this is my daughter, he said. And she thought that the service was absolutely wicked, which I think was a compliment. And then he said, but I've realized what makes your church different. So I said, what's that? He said, you really think Jesus is alive. And I thought, one visit to church and he's got the message. That's pretty good going, isn't it? Because Jesus is alive. And when we meet, we should be expecting his presence to be manifest in our midst. We were running an Alpha course on one occasion, and just before it started, I had a phone call. And this lady phoned up and she said, I want to book my friend into your Alpha course. Is that all right? So I said, yes, certainly it's all right. So she said, well, I need to tell you about her first of all. So she said, she's 78 years old. She's German. She's Jewish background, but not practicing Jewish. And she still drives. I don't know why she said that. She said, is it right she comes? So I said, of course she can come. This lady turned up and her name was Renata. And I've had permission to quote her testimony, although she's now with the Lord. Renata turned up and she was obviously Jewish. She was bright as a button. And she would listen to, you know, Alpha, we have a meal and then the talks and then questions and discussion. She would listen to these talks, and afterwards she'd have questions, lots of questions, not silly questions, but really pertinent questions, really seeking to find out what it was all about. Well, we got to the third or fourth week when we were looking at prayer, and we listened to the talk, and then we had the discussion. And Renata, I'll never forget this. She said, I've prayed all my life, she said, and my prayers have never been answered. And this look of great sadness came upon her face. Anyway, at the end of the meeting, she said, John, she said, can I come to church on Sunday? So I said, of course you can. So Sunday came and Renata turned up early, and I had a chat with her before the service. I didn't see her at all during the service. There were a lot of people there, and that was the last I saw of her. But come out for the following week, she turned up early. And she said, I must tell you what happened to me in church on Sunday. She said, I came in, she said, and when I went into the where the worship was, she said, I could just feel something was different. And then the music started and the worship started, or the singing as she called it. And she said, and suddenly I thought my heart was going to burst. And she said, and I just experienced this love. And she said, it just went on and on and on. And I cried throughout the service, and I felt so self-conscious and so embarrassed. And she said, and at the end of the service, I was just worn away as quickly as possible so that nobody would ask me why I was behaving like I was. She said, I went home and I prayed. And she said, and in the first time in my life, my prayers were answered. She said, I prayed and I said, God, why have you made me wait so long to experience your love? And she said, and God spoke to me. And she said, the Lord said, because you never asked. You know, dear Renata came to faith and we baptized her, and she was just personality plus. She was in the church for about a year, and she was just brilliant. And then she wasn't feeling very well, and cutting a long story short, she was diagnosed with an inoperable tumor behind her eye, and told that she'd have less than a year to live. She said to me, John, I'm not worried. She said, I'm going home. She only lived about 3 or 4 months afterwards, and she lived peacefully and died peacefully to be with the Lord. Jesus is alive. He is alive. We worship a risen Saviour. Remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember the reign of Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus is Lord. We have some dear friends, and they've got 2 children called Gavin and Sarah. And this is quite a few years ago. And these friends are not Christians, but they agreed that we could take Gavin and Sarah to a Bible camp. And we took them to a Bible camp, and at the time, Gavin was probably about 8 years old and his sister was about 10 years old. And we were really very pleased that they allowed us to take them to a Bible camp because they weren't Christians. And anyway, came the first day, Gavin went to a meeting. He came running back to the caravan and he said, John, he said, I want to become a Christian. This is after one meeting. So I said, well, Gavin, I said, just, it's a bit early in the week, just wait a moment, because I just had this vision of our friends thinking we brainwashed their children. Well, the week went by and Gavin and Sarah went along to these meetings, but I'll never forget that on the last night, Gavin came running back flat out to the caravan and said, John, he said, John, I want to tell you, I've become a Christian and I feel all clean inside. And I thought to myself, what a good theological description of what happens when we become a Christian and we meet with Jesus Christ. Dear Gavin was just a real boy, and yet he just started going to church and life was different. And I want to tell you what you know, but that you might not remember as you should. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is reigning. And he is only a prayer away. Some of you will be going through some heavy stuff at the moment, almost inevitably. We're not called to have a problem-free life. But we've got a Saviour who has promised to be with us, come what may. He's a prayer away, and he cares for you. You matter to him. He's not too busy. He knows what you're going through better than you do. Jesus Christ is Lord. Remember Jesus Christ. Perhaps we can break off there, Brian, and I'll come back with part two. You're muted, Brian. First time I've ever known it.
And that he's Lord. So back to John Bridger, if that's okay. Thank you, John.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. I often think that if God had a middle name, his name would be Mystery, because we don't understand his ways, but he is good and we can trust him. We had a girl came to our church in Reigate a few years ago. Her name was Michelle. Michelle was, she had a daughter called Adedari. Adedari was about two and Michelle was in her mid-30s. She's a single parent, and we got to know her, and Michelle's, the Adedari was a lovely little black girl. The father was a black guy, but he had disappeared during Michelle's pregnancy, so they'd never seen him or heard from him. And Adedari was born with a very serious skin disease. It was eczema related, and throughout her life, Michelle had to put wet and dry dressings on her at night to help her to sleep. And every night there was this process going on. Well, if you can think about being a single parent and having disturbed nights permanently, you can imagine the pressure she was under. Well, Michelle got saved, got well and truly saved, and started reading her Bible, and she read the book of James, and in the book of James it says in chapter 5, if anyone's sick, let him call for the elders of the church and pray and they will be healed. And she took that verse at face value, and she said, John, will you come round and pray with the elders? So I said, yeah, of course we will. Anyway, we arranged to go round there. And it was arranged that just two of us would go rather than the whole eldership team. And I was going around with a guy called Elias, who's a very godly man. Actually, he's a Palestinian born in Nazareth, so he's got a good background. We arranged to go around. Well, interestingly, the day that we were supposed to go around, Adedari woke up in the morning and she said, Mummy, I had a dream. So Michelle said to him, what's that? She said, I saw John in the garden last night. She knew me as John. She said, I saw John in the garden last night. Well, I'd never been to the house, and I certainly wasn't in the garden in the middle of the night. And anyway, Michelle said to Adedari, well, that's strange. She said, but he's coming round to see you tonight. And she talked to her. Adedari was two and a half years old. personality plus she was just perpetual motion. She was in church, you knew she was there. She was just lovely. Well, we went and knocked on the door one evening, and Michelle answered the door and we went in. Well, both Elias and I had the same experience as you went into that house. We just felt as if we'd stepped into the presence of God in a, I think it was a unique experience in for me in this particular way. The first miracle that happened was that Adedari was stationary. Normally she was perpetual motion, but she was just serene and still. And I explained to her what we were going to do. And we were just about to lay hands and anoint oil with her. And I looked at her face, and her face, she was a pretty little girl, but her face, it had dry sores and wet sores on it. It was really horrible. And I just thought, Lord, if you're going to heal anyone, surely you'd heal this little girl. That thought just came to me so strongly. Well, we prayed for her and anointed her with oil, and we went. The next day, about lunchtime, Michelle Adedari's mum phoned up. She said, John, she's being healed. By the weekend, this was on a Tuesday, so it would be Wednesday morning, Michelle said this, by the weekend she was completely healed. And on the following Monday, she had an interview, an appointment with a consultant where they were supposed to be deciding whether or not they gave her chemotherapy. This disease was so serious. Michelle took Adedari along to see this consultant, and he looked at Adedari, and he looked at her notes, and he looked at Adedari again, and he checked the notes again, and then he said to Michelle, he said, what's happened? So Michelle said to him, well, Adedari's been prayed for at church. So he went very quiet, and he said, well, I don't know what's happened here, but she seems to be having a complete remission. He couldn't actually say healing. She seems to be in complete remission. So he said, there's no treatment necessary. And they went. Well, this guy wrote a letter. This consultant wrote a letter to Michelle's GP, Adedari's GP. And in this letter, he said, I've examined Adedari today, and she is in full remission and no further treatment is required. And then his next sentence was, and this is word for word, apparently there have been some goings on in the church. We got this letter and we put it up on the projector at church to show everyone, along with Adedari, who's there healed, and the church just erupted. You know, Jesus Christ is alive. That was a rare event for me, a unique event for me. But we should be expecting God's power to be released and not be content to settle down. Remember Jesus Christ. He's never been passive. He's never been disinterested. He's never been have favorites. He's just wants to be in his church, building his church, and he wants to build his church in Merstham. You're not trying to twist his arm to get him to build a church in Merstham. He wants it more than you. I don't know what the population of Merstham is, but I imagine it's well over 10,000. There are 10,000 people in Merstham, 10,000 plus people in Merstham, and many of them are going to hell if they don't get saved. And they can be saved. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus in Revelation 22 says, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus is coming soon. There's no time to be wasted. We don't know how soon, but it's soon. And these days are urgent. When's he coming? No one knows the day or the hour, but we're told to be ready. Where? Well, we do know where he's coming. Let me read to you from Zechariah 14. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. Whenever I've been to Jerusalem, I've stood on the Mount of Olives. I've stood there and just been able to see where Jesus Christ is going to come. And if you stand on the Mount of Olives, you can look over to the city walls, and you can see the Golden Gate. The Golden Gate is directly opposite the Mount of Olives, and it's sealed up. And Jewish tradition has it that the Messiah will enter Jerusalem through the Golden Gate. And in the 16th century, the Muslims sealed the Golden Gate to keep him out. They also had a cemetery, a burial ground put outside as well, because they know that a rabbi wouldn't walk through a burial ground. They're trying to keep him out. Well, it won't work. It won't work. The day is going to come when Jesus will come onto the Mount of Olives, and he'll walk into Jerusalem. There's only 2 days that matter. Today and that day, today and the day of Christ. Today's a gift, and we can look upon it as an opportunity and ask the Lord to sustain us, encourage us, uphold us. And there's another day coming, though. My prayer for each one of you is that you will remember Jesus Christ, not as some distant figure, not as someone that may help you from time to time, but someone who has promised never to leave you, never to forsake you. Someone who has said that they love you with an everlasting love. Someone who delights in you. Do you know there is an epidemic in the Church of Jesus Christ in England, I think? And that is, there are so many Christians that feel inferior and worthless. We are not inferior. Whoever we are, whatever our ability, we're children of God, and he delights in us. And we need to remember who he is. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. This is your gospel. Let's pray. Lord, may we remember you, not just a vague memory, not just an occasional memory, but a memory that will be prominent in our thinking, in our living. Every day, Lord, that we remember you and who you are and what you have promised. And that we will learn to rely upon you and to follow you and to delight in you. Thank you, Lord, that we've got nothing to prove. But thank you, Lord, that you are with us. Do more than we ask and more than we imagine in our lives and in Merston Baptist Church. For we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen.